Begin right there. The exuberant markets in the middle of an economy that seems anything but. What's the week's agenda? What's going to be setting the tone for events and headlines this week? We are joined by Charlie Herman, the Takeaways and WNYC's economics editor. Charlie, this week is going to be all about what?
A growing divide, I think, between Wall Street and Main Street.
Yeah, we're already seeing that this morning. Yeah, Christia Friedland, the global editor at large for Reuters. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
This week is going to be all about what, in your view?
Deflation.
Deflation.
I think that's going to be the new word in the market.
All right. Well, two economic themes from both of our guests this morning. Charlie, let's start with you. I can't remember a time when the leading economic indicators like the stock market were more widely divergent from the lagging indicators like consumer confidence, unemployment, that sort of thing. What's going on here?
I think this divide that I want to sort of I see this week that I think is going to be a big theme. I mean, for the last 2 weeks, we've had corporate earnings. We've seen the stock market sort of ticking slowly upwards. About three quarters of the S&P 500 have reported, you know, very significant profits over last year. And that would be, you'd think that'd be a good sign that businesses would be feeling better. They're making money, so they'd start hiring people. And yet the expectation is this Friday when we get the July jobs report is that unemployment will actually tick up slightly, that we'll still see jobs lost because of this census issue with those temporary workers ending. So, I mean, you're really in this place that's very strange where businesses seem to be doing well and yet consumers are not. Businesses aren't in the mood to hire. It's even becoming politicized with the Chamber of Commerce in Washington being very aggressive with President Obama and the administration, sort of very anti a lot of the proposals that they have put out there to try and help the economy. And so I really see this growing divide, which I think will really hurt the economy going forward.
Well, it reminds me of the first line of Anna Karenina, that Tolstoy novel. Prosperity, everybody has a hand in that. It's easy to take credit for prosperity, but families that are miserable are always miserable in their own way, according to Tolstoy. People feel the recession in their own way. It's harder for politicians to create a sense of reassurance, Christia. So what can the White House do here?
Well, I'm very much with Charlie. I think that what we're seeing and I think what we're going to continue to see is really a two-speed America. To quote someone who's maybe not in the league of Tolstoy and who is not much quoted right now, I think the whole John Edwards line about the two Americas is really something that we're seeing really taking shape right now. And what's interesting about the corporate story is U.S. companies are really strong right now. Corporate balance sheets are really,
got
really,
a lot of money.
Yeah, they have a lot of money. They went in, with the exception of the financial sector, they actually went into the financial crisis in pretty good shape because they had been scared by the dot-com crisis. But what we're seeing is U.S. companies actually having laid people off going into the recession are saying, you know what? We're now more productive. We don't need to hire those people back. And the paradox is, that's the right thing for companies to do. You're seeing some op-ed columnists starting to yell at the CEOs and say, why do you guys want to be so productive? Well, that's capitalism.
But it doesn't feel very good. But I thought there were some companies, though, that were showing that, if they were hiring, they were actually doing better.
Well, sure, of course. I mean, once you grow past a certain point, you're going
to
hire more workers.
So but the end, interesting it's thing, yeah.
It's not self-defeating. Actually, I mean, you know, companies. One of the things that has been interesting about this recession, I think, actually, is U.S. companies handled it really well. They saw problems were coming. They brought down their costs, and their costs include us.
Although administration officials are all over the place this week talking about how it's going to be unemployment at 9.5% for quite a long time. This isn't over. Obama yesterday was saying it's not over. Let's just shift gears for 1 second, Charlie. We'll come back to the economy in a second. It seems to me there's a huge test going on right now between the U.S. and Pakistan with these serious floodings in Northwest Frontier Province. The U.S. is part of the lead international aid effort for Pakistan, but this has to be a test of this alliance.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that this could be more important than any military action we've seen this year. And, you know, it's a real opportunity for the U.S. to show people that it's not just about bang bang, that you know, there is a real alliance which is meaningful to people in their daily lives.
Although politically, I'm thinking about the agenda, and back to you, Charlie, I mean, I'm wondering, this just occurred to me now, I don't want to ask you about Pakistan, relations per se, but as time goes on, do Americans, given their insecurity about the economy, get more concerned about these wars as a cost that they're paying and that it becomes much more difficult for someone like President Obama?
I think so. I mean, there's just this general sense right now, both on the Republicans and the Democrats, on both sides, about deficit and the fact that it keeps getting bigger and bigger and that more money is being spent in all parts of the world, as well as in the U.S. And I think that's one of the issues that perhaps the administration is facing right now, is that you have a lot of these, they got through a lot of spending programs over the last 2 years, you know, stimulus as well as the bank bailout. To get that sort of money going now, to get the economy going, is very difficult. And there's no real pressure right now. There's a general sense of malaise, even amongst the rich who are spending less, but there's no pressure like there was 2 years ago that got billions spent.
Sometimes looking back is looking forward. We learned the word dispersant during the BP oil crisis, which is still going on. We also learned the name of this guy, Thad Allen.
It's not a decision by BP on whether or not to use dispersants. It's a decision by the federal on-scene coordinator whether to approve the incident commander's a recommendation to use dispersants once they've been located by surveillance aircraft and there's an opportunity to use them.
He's talking about a dispute that cropped up over the weekend over who had the decision to put what dispersants in the water there in the Gulf. Again, I don't want to ask you guys about chemistry, but really the whole chain of command, the whole chain of command about who was responsible for both the cleanup and this disaster is what we're going to be learning over the next several weeks. And again, that's a problem.
Kind of like the financial crisis, sort of who's responsible for it and the cleanup afterwards. Who's going to bear the cost for it? And I think that this will be litigated and discussed for some time.
Christia, did you get an invitation to Obama's birthday on Wednesday?
No, I did not.
But you're not taking it personally?
I didn't get invited to Chelsea's wedding either, so I guess it's a bad week for social events for me. It was my son's birthday yesterday, and he invited me to that. So.
And Obama was nowhere to be found. I think you and Bill Clinton had the right idea. Keep the president away. It's a huge distraction when you invite a president. Charlie Herman, Takeaway and WNYC Economics Editor, thanks so much. And Christia Friedland, Global Editor-at-Large for Reuters. There's your agenda.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.